Welcome back to the Unbreakable Mindset Podcast with me, your host, Jude Daunt. Now, before I get into the topic that I want to explore with you, I thought I'd fill you in on what I've been doing over the last few weeks. Now, I have been moving my office around twice in probably the last 2 months, maybe less actually, because I've just had a client who's come in and we've had a 6 week gap. And in that time, I've moved the office around and put it back again. Now, the reason I moved it around was my office, I'm really affected by my surroundings. Like, I have to feel good in that space for me to be able to show up mentally. Now, that, to anyone else who gets that, amazing. If you don't, I'm sorry. It's just my thing. Like, I don't really cope well if I'm not in a surrounding that feels workable. Does that make sense? Or like, I always remember years ago working when I had bad depression as well, to be fair. And I can always pinpoint those times at work when I had bad depression with certain smells and spaces. And I remember I was a VM, a visual merchandiser for Marks and Spencers. And I was quite depressed around that time. Not necessarily because I worked there, just, you know, hadn't dealt with it then, hadn't had my coaching, hadn't had the kind of revelations that I now have and understand myself. So I was still in that space, in that depressed state, not feeling good enough, struggling with anxiety and depression. And the space that we had to work in, like, the shop floor was lovely. Obviously, it was bright and clean and, you know, we got to kind of be creative, etc. But out the back, it was very dark and it was very smelly. And we were right next to the loading bay where they had our space. Like, it's nuts now when I think about it that we weren't in a nicer space. But it was essentially in a big stock room, like warehouse where they had. So Marks and Spencers, if you're listening in a different country, is a mixture of food hall and homeware and women's wear and children's wear clothing, essentially. And out the back was where the deliveries came in. So there was a loading bay where the trucks would come and all the stock would come off. And then to the left of that was where all the food storage was. And it was a bit funky. Like, the smell wasn't great. And being in that space, you know, you had to go in at least, you know, multiple times a day, because you're going back and forward. Either you were getting a piece of equipment or a mannequin or, I don't know, doing something at the back. Maybe you were planning something. And we used to have to wear, fleeces to stay at the back, because you were right next to the loading bay. It was open. It was open to the elements. It was cold in there as well. So it was cold. It was smelly. It was dark, basically. And it wasn't, there was nothing fluffy about it, if that makes sense. So I remember that. I also remember working at House of Fraser. And again, the lighting in there was really dark. As a store, it was quite dark. Where you had to go in the back areas was really dark. It wasn't a friendly place. So I know, long story short, I know I'm affected by my surroundings. I remember when I had to sell the family home, and me and my daughter moved into this property. It was brand new, but it looked, God, I've gone into loads of detail about this. It was not the plan, by the way. I was literally going to tell you I've remodeled the office. But when I moved into, this was all I could afford. It was a rent-to-buy scheme. And so it was a new build and you rented it and some of that rent would go away towards your deposit. I think that's how it worked. Anyway, I didn't stay there very long and I definitely didn't stay to buy it. So I stayed there for a year. It was lovely because inside it was lovely. It was a brand new kitchen, brand new bathroom, like carpets, everything. Like, again, that's a big thing for me, to have everything like brand new. And I've never had to struggle with that before, because every time anything's got old, I've moved house. Just circumstances, not because I didn't want to decorate. Whereas now, the house that I'm in right now, I would normally have moved by this point, but obviously we're not. So I'm now in the stage of redecorating. So there are little things getting on my nerves. And just going back to the house that I bought, sorry, rented, the reason why I was so sad living there is because when you opened the curtains, the view out was just, oh God, I don't even know how to describe it. It was just dark and eerie, and it faced a bus stop, and it just didn't feel good. And I remember thinking, well, first of all, I was really sad because I felt like I'd let my daughter down. Like, it wasn't in an amazing area. It wasn't super rough or anything, but it wasn't in a nice area. And I remember feeling like I'd let her down. And every time I had to open those curtains in the morning, I felt sad, and I started my day like that. And I remember just thinking, like, I can't wait till the day where I can open the curtains and I'm looking at a view where I get excited and I'm happy to live there and it feels lovely. And I definitely got that with the next house. So I know my mindset is really hindered by my surroundings. There's a long story short, that was where I was going with that. My office is lovely. Like, I've done it out really, really nice. Like, the walls are a lovely colour, although a bit dark sometimes. It's blue. Maybe blue, you'll have seen it on my Instagram. The seating area is really nice. Everything about it, I love. But what I realised was, after being on a call with somebody who has a really nice, like, background to their Zoom, like, they've got lovely cladding on the wall, it's pink, and they've got like a lovely little tree behind it with like full flowers, and it just looks lovely. It looks really, really nice, and it made me really jealous about the fact that, actually, hang on a minute, when people come on a Zoom call with me, what they actually say is a white wall, you see all my certificates, like diplomas and things like that, and the fact that I'm a fellow in my governing body and things like that. That's what you see, which I thought, oh, well, that's good. That's credibility, isn't it? But it's really boring to look at. And what else do you see? Oh, a big white filing cabinet. Like, that's the least pretty thing in my whole office. And that's what people saw on the printer as well. I turned my desk around so that actually when people logged on, they could see my Unbreakable Mindset neon sign that I've got in the background. But the way the desk's leveled, all they were really seeing was like half of that, and then the other half was the ugly radiator. So that didn't work. Plus, it threw everything else off in the office because I had to move all the other furniture around to accommodate the fact that the desk was turned around. Anyway, long story short, I have been changing my storage system behind me. Now, the storage system itself now is not ideal because it's a bit low down, but it just means that there's now a little space that I can kind of decorate it and make it look a bit, you know, like I've visual merchandised it essentially in my old job. So that's something I've been doing. What else have I been doing? I've been preparing for the masterclass and just kind of getting on top of things. Now, last week, I felt like I was drowning. So my husband and my son kind of busied themselves on the morning for a couple of hours while I got some work done. And as soon as all it needed was 2 hours from me, and as soon as I got that done, I felt so much better. And this week, I'm a bit unnerved because I feel like I'm well on top of things, if not ahead of myself, that everything feels a little bit like, oh, you know, comfortable. And the fact that I'm recording this on the Wednesday is a huge win for me. And the reason being, which will take us on nicely to where I opened the session with the students in the academy the other day, that in the last few weeks when I've been recording the podcast, and if you're an avid listener of the podcast and you love it, please don't be worried, I'm not stopping it. But what I realised was that for the last few weeks, or if not month, 2 months, I've not been excited to record the podcast. I know I'm putting it out there, I'm being really vulnerable about that. And I'm hoping it didn't come across, because actually when I get started on it, it's fine. But it's felt a little bit like exercise. It's like you put it off, but then once you do, you feel much better. That's kind of how the podcast has felt in the last few weeks. And I don't really know why. I just know I've had a discomfort about it. And the only reason I know I've had a discomfort about it is because I keep putting it off. And I've been leaving it till the Sunday and then editing on the Monday, ready for the Tuesday. Now, that seems fine in itself. Like, I'm still giving myself enough time. But I know that when I write my to-do list on a Monday and when I put podcasts down on my list, because I don't want to forget, like, I would, right? I don't have the capabilities to know that that's an automatic thing that I have to do. It does need to be written down. So as soon as I write down podcasts, I do feel a bit like, oh. And I don't know why, although I did do some unpicking with it. One, I know I'm procrastinating over it, so I should just do it. But I think it's because for such a long time, since I've been doing this, it's nearly 2 years, the ideas have just come to us, the flow to me. And I've been able to go, oh my God, I'm going to do that on the podcast. Or yes, that's definitely a good idea. And then I have a little list of things that I add. And it's just not been at the forefront of my mind. And as you'll know from last week's podcast, there's been a lot going on. I have taken on some senior coaches to help me with my one-on-one clients and for them to be able to coach some of the people that come to me. I have been growing the academy. You know, there's 35 students in there now, active students that haven't graduated yet. I think there's 37 at the moment, because we had two new started last week. So that's taken up a lot of my time. And where I'd kind of took my foot off the pedal, I'm literally coaching myself as I'm talking you through this. I'm figuring it out. I'm unpicking it. As I took the foot off the pedal with Instagram and social media and just been doing it as and when, I've really tried to ramp that up in the last few weeks. And I do honestly think that might be the reason why I'm not excited for the podcast, is because any ideas for content and thinking about what I'm going to post on social media. Yes, we do all have to do that. Like, think about what you're going to post. Unless you decide, I've got coaches that decide not to go on social media and they promote themselves other way and they get clients complete. You don't have to show up on social media to get clients. However, that is a goal of mine, to grow my social media following and to get content out there that hits and lands and grows exponentially. So that is something that I wanted. I'm going to have to put attention to it. And because I've been thinking about that, I think I just haven't had the bandwidth, the brain space to be able to go, all right, okay, what am I going to do for my podcast this week? It's just not been a thought. So therefore, when I sit down to do the podcast, it's felt like that. And when anything ever feels like, you know, it needs more attention from you than what you're giving it, because it shouldn't feel like an effort. Anything you do shouldn't feel like an effort. You've got to figure out what's going on. So I knew that was an area of mine that needed attention. And this is a veiled link. It's not a definite link to how I then got onto the subject for the academy. So every 2 weeks, I do a live session with the students in the academy, the ones that are training to become coaches. And every week it's a different topic that I will teach on. It could be that I expand on a case study and we look at real client examples and what they're struggling with, what the goals are, what tools you should use, etc. Or it could be that we do a deep dive into something that they should be focusing on in terms of the growth for themselves, etc. Again, all of this needs me to think about and plan. So again, there's an element of me being having time to plan, I think. And do you know what? There's my solution. We've just come up with it. It's took me 13 minutes. And I think what I need to do as part of my admin day on a Monday is to take maybe half an hour. That's probably all it needs, is to think about what the subject topic is going to be for maybe my week in terms of my social media, my podcast, etc., and just think about what are those bullet points. And that would massively help me. Like, even as I'm saying, and I'm excited now, that's what I'm going to do on Monday as part of my admin day. Actually, I've got some time on Thursday. I might even do it this Thursday and get a step ahead. See how excited I am now? And the process that we just went through to get there. So thank you for being a part of that. Now, the thing that we talked about in the academy, I digress, was my question was, what is your growth area right now? And when they work through all of the material in the academy, they do have to do the work on themselves, because it'd be really weird if they were a life coach and they didn't know themselves inside out. They didn't know what their limiting beliefs were. They didn't know what their triggers were. They didn't know what their self-sabotages were. So all of these things they are learning about themselves. And one of the things, as I say, that my question was, what is your growth area right now? Now, your growth area won't be the area that feels comfortable. Now, how do I explain this? So say if you were training at the gym and you were in a good routine, and actually your goal is to bench more or run faster or train 3 times a week instead of 2. That's not your growth area, right? Not the one that I'm talking about anyway. You might still want to do that. That might be a goal. But that's not necessarily the growth area I'm talking about. The growth area is somewhere we feel discomfort. So if you don't know what your growth area is, it's where there's discomfort. And that could be anything that's going on for you right now, right? So one of the growth areas of one of the students in the academy was when they'd done their work on their limiting beliefs and kind of marrying that up with what's gone on for them in their past careers, they could see there was some self-sabotage going on based on a limiting belief of, oh God, I'm trying to remember this off the top of my head. This is perimenopause for you guys. Okay, so let's say it was not feeling good enough, right? So therefore, I think this is what it was, maybe not feeling good enough, so charged less. And this person could already see that they were going to do that and preempt that in their coaching business. So although I say to coaches that they can charge $2,497, that's $2,497 for a 12-session coaching program, he'd almost kind of thought in his head he wouldn't charge that. He would charge a lot less because that's what he's used to doing. And he could see that that was a pattern, and that was definitely an area of growth for him in terms of kind of going deeper on why he felt like he wasn't good enough and what that looks like and how that shows up. Now, for me, my next growth area is the discomfort I'm going to be feeling when I hand over clients to my senior coaches, because that's been the reason I got into coaching, was to coach people and to help them out of the struggle that they're currently in, to be able to be happy, to achieve their goals, to achieve their dreams. And I'm so used to knowing that that's what I do, that's what I get results in, I'm really confident in that. And to hand them over is going to be growth for me. So I've put in certain things like phone calls that I'll have every so often with the senior coaches and checking in. And I'll be honest, that's more for me than it is for them. I know they are amazing, or else I wouldn't have chosen them. I know they get great results already with their clients. Again, I wouldn't have chosen them otherwise. But for me to be able to move away from that, my growth area is that handover period. Your growth area might be there's something in your day-to-day, your career, your job, your business, where you put it off. So like me with my podcast, there's some growth area I need to do on there, growth work. There might be an element of your business or your day-to-day at work where, yeah, you know, you put it off, or you kind of just accept it that you don't like doing it, or you're not good at it, or whatever that is, and you don't really do anything about it, then there's a growth area for you that you can work on right there in that. Because when we feel like we're not good at something, and we don't do anything about it, it just sits there and it confirms our limited beliefs, doesn't it? Because you're not doing anything about it. So you'll remain not good enough at it. Does that make sense? So say if you're somebody who has social anxiety. What people who've got social anxiety tend to do is avoid socializing, because that's just easier. Why would you put yourself in an uncomfortable situation? But if you want to move past social anxiety, the best way to move past that is to start socializing. Yeah, like, I'm not saying you're going to be an extrovert. You might always be an introvert, but starting to have conversations with people. So you change that narrative of, I'm not good at socializing, to how can I become better? How can I have conversations where I'm not worrying what other people think? Conversations where I'm actually engaged and so are they. You would start working on that as a growth area rather than sitting in the discomfort. Because if you sat in the discomfort of social anxiety, you don't do anything about it, this confirms your limiting beliefs of, I'm not good at making friends, because therefore your friendship group doesn't grow because you don't do anything about it. You're not putting yourself in situations where you can grow your friendship group. You just sit in the discomfort and it continuously confirms your limiting belief. Now, I appreciate my examples have been a bit weak, if I'm honest, for you. But that's because I've done a hell of a lot of my growth work that there's very little that's kind of, there's always going to be room for growth. Don't get us wrong. Like, I'm not perfect and I never will be. But the big stuff, that real painful stuff, I've done the work on because I had to, because it was taking me to really dark places. I'm talking years ago. It was taking me to really dark places. So I had to do that growth work. I had to work on, what is my discomfort? What are my triggers? And why am I still stuck in this? And I had to start putting things in place so that I could work on those. You know, taking the jump to become a life coach was huge for me. That was such a big growth area for me, because my limiting beliefs were still telling me that I wouldn't be a huge success, that I'd never earn good money, that I could never have my own business. Like, there was loads of limiting beliefs. Like, I just, so I played small. You know, I'm sure I've talked about this before. I played small to start off with and didn't take the full leap for about 4 years. So it took a lot of growth and it was a bit of time for me to take that jump into it. And even then, when I took the jump into it, it was still like, let's test it and see. I didn't really have, what's the word? The only people I knew weren't coaches, put it that way. So I didn't know anyone that was a coach and that made a success out of it, unless you were looking at like a Tony Robbins or something. But, you know, I didn't think I could get there. I wasn't at that point. So I didn't really have a team of people around me that had made a huge success, even in the community that I was in. So when I'd graduated from my life coach diploma, you know, nobody that I was working with at that time was, or who I knew, those coaches were successful. And it's only now that I've put myself into scenarios with those people that I can see it. And the lovely thing is now is that, you know, the graduates that are coming through are automatically becoming successful out of the coaching, because they have a framework. They've got the business course that you get within the academy as well to understand how to turn it. So they've got all the tools. So it's lovely because they'll have each other and they'll be able to look at each other and see the success. And I didn't have that in 2014. You know, like back then, coaching wasn't what it is now. And if you are feeling like there's an area of growth that you need to do, one, so now we're going to go through the steps. I've waffled on long enough, right? Let's go through the steps. So identify what your area of growth is. Number two, if you don't know it, look for the discomfort. Where is the discomfort for you right now? That is your area of growth. Now, if your area of growth is in alignment with your current limiting beliefs, so if you feel like you're not good enough at X, and that links with a limiting belief that you have of not feeling good enough, then you also have the added fact that you have an emotional attachment to this area of growth, right? Now, I don't have emotional attachments to my areas of growth now. I still had one about the money mindset, but as you'll have heard through the various podcasts that I've done, that I've worked on that, I've removed the emotional attachment and I've started to look at factually, what do I need to create a better money mindset? And this is what I want you to do. So removing the emotional attachment from your goal, from your growth area, then start looking at, okay, what do I need to do? What's practical that I can start doing? And if you don't know what that looks like, then I want you to look for evidence with somebody else. So somebody else who has achieved that, so has that growth in their area, has that personality trait, has that area of abundance, that wherever you're craving that growth is, they have it, right? So say, for example, I don't know, somebody at work is super organized, they make it look easy, and you're struggling, and you feel like it's really hard for you to be, like, you know, organized. You always feel like, you know, your job, whatever your title is tough, right? Start looking at the people who find it easy and then start observing them. What do they do differently to you? How do they show up? What do you need to adopt? Now, it could be that your area of growth is X, but to achieve that, you need to be better organized. You need to stop procrastinating. You need to, so my area of growth is my podcast again, I appreciate, I'm so sorry, this is not a painful one. But I know there's certain things that I need to put in place so that I'm not feeling, that I get excited again. And I'm definitely a stage back to it. Like, you know, I knew what I was going to talk to you about. I've made some notes and I'm doing it on a Wednesday. Like, my area of growth is in place. I've put some things into action to affect the outcome, to work on that area of growth. So start thinking about, where's the discomfort? What is the area of growth? And how are you going to achieve it? This might be that it needs you to put in a certain action. It might need some daily tasks from you. It might need some form of training. It might mean that you need to go and see somebody who could support you in that area. And that could just be like somebody who trains you on Excel at work. Like, really go deep on this for yourself. But the key thing here is remove the emotion so you can see factually what you need to do to achieve that area of growth. And the other way, this is a crucial thing that I didn't include in it. The other way you'll know your area of growth is, It's the point where you're holding yourself back. So if you know you're holding yourself back, then you know there's an area of growth that you need to smash through to be able to get to the other side. Now, I've tried to be as vague as possible, although my examples were the podcast, so it's not super vague, because I want this to land for everyone, because we've all got room for growth. We've all got a little element of discomfort, something that's making us go, oh, or something that is way worse than that, and it's causing your anxiety, and it's causing your intrusive thoughts, it's causing you to not feel good enough. That is real discomfort, and that is the area of growth that you need to do work on. As always, I hope this has landed exactly where it needed, and that you're able to get some key takeaways and some key actions from this. And I look forward to, again, if it's landed, you know I love connecting, so please do drop me a message on Instagram. I'm always available on Instagram. Drop me a message, tell me where it landed for you, and then what you've decided to do because of it. Have an amazing week, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to the Unbreakable Mindset podcast with me, your host, Jude Daunt. If you have enjoyed this episode, then please do share with others. And it would mean a huge deal to me if you would rate, review, follow, and subscribe on your podcast app. This will allow the podcast to keep growing and going to new audiences. And if you want to know all the ways in which you can work with me directly, please visit judedauntcoaching.co.uk. The links will be in the show notes.